Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is October 15th, 2016, and there's nothing like waiting to the last second to get on air. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot going on this week in the world, today, politics, the whole works. I mean, the world is just spinning faster and faster. Things are happening. And if you're not paying attention, oh my gosh, you must be under a rock somewhere. So we got a lot of things going on. And as always, Matt has thought things and has opinions. And guess what? Once again, this week, just like every other week, I'm going to present to you my opinion piece. This week's opinion piece is called What's Best Instead of What's Good for Me? What's Best Instead of What's Good for Me? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so tired of hearing about special interest groups and the people who listen and follow them, feeling like they've been shunned and outcast, especially during this election cycle. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. These groups have every right to do so, but they fail to see that the ship is sinking. The United States of America and every great thing it stands for has been under constant attack when it comes to our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and from terrorists, both foreign and domestic. All these special interest groups are like golden eggs that can only be laid by the special goose, the US of A, the United States of America. Those golden eggs are the symbols of freedom. The ability to express one's opinions, thoughts, and ideas freely is a cherished freedom and needs to stay cherished. However, in the process, these groups lose focus from where that freedom comes from. Those who wish to thwart this country promote infighting among ourselves to distract us from the sordid plans of those who wish to take this country over. We all must see first that our special goose is about to be cooked and unite towards an immediate common goal, and that is unity in preserving our way of life in this country. Our core values, those things that make us true Americans, are being perverted, misaligned, and eliminated. We cannot let this happen. Did I say you can't have these personal interests and promote them to others? No, I did not. What did I say and mean then? I said and I meant, put to the side for now your special interests and unite with one another in an honorable and a desperately needed cause. And that is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in a strong United States. Will that allows you to have all those other things? Now, on November 8th, we're going to have a new president. And neither one is perfect. But one does not want to continue business as usual. Business as usual has gotten us to this point where we are now. Business as usual is focused on special interests first and not what's good for this country first. We must all get off of our high horses and forget about us for a moment and align with the candidate that will do their best in the best interest of the United States. Now, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Constitutionalist, or whatever, which one of our two candidates can get this country back in the direction it needs to go? That's the person you need to vote for. An attitude of not voting helps no one. Voting because you don't like the way someone looks, talks, or acts doesn't help either. This election, we must get past all the pettiness and elect the candidate that is best for the country and not just good for me or you. Now, a good litmus test would be if they protect and defend our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our borders, our troops, and our way of life, then they should be the one. Ladies and gentlemen, a ship that is taking on water can stay afloat for only so long before it sinks. This country is running out of water buckets. Make your vote count, and let's get this ship, the United States of America, up to full speed ahead, all right? That's my thoughts. That's what I'm thinking. That's my opinion. Give me a call, 254-697-6633 here at the studio. If you got a thought on that, you want to be part of the show, We'll get you on. I'll take complaints too. I know I normally divert my complaints, but I'll take the complaints too. Okay, we got a lot of things going on, so let me go into our show highlights and I'll tell you what's happening here today. Today's license to carry class will go over the constantly asked question of, and it's, as a license to carry holder, where can I go and not go with a handgun? Well, get ready to take notes because I'm going to teach you a trick on how to remember. It's going to be pretty easy once I show you how to do this. Today's NRA segment will not be about the NRA today. Now, I saw the 100th anniversary issue of the Concealed Handgunner magazine, and I thought I would talk about the true stories from this issue instead today. And I'll be reading them and commenting on them as I go. I didn't even really read them. I'm just going to read them as I go and make my commentary then as compared to writing them down. Now, in my PEP section, since I'm having a self-defense and home invasion seminar on November 5th, I wanted to play a pre-recorded video with my son, Dylan. Now, Dylan, he's my acting crackhead when it comes to the simulation of home intrusions. We've got our shoot house there on site at Aaron's Gun Shop, and he plays the acting crackhead. And there's lots of good info. He's done it for so long that he knows all the patterns and all the things that people do consistently, and it would be beneficial to you when you come to take the training and for real life. Now, our topic of interest section, sponsored by WRBSales.com. Bill Banlow, the owner, I've known him for a long time. Great guy, awesome business, and awesome products. And what I've got here with me today, I've got one of his products, and I've got a product from another manufacturer that I used to wear and carry, because before I met Bill, I would go in these. But I want to show you, I keep talking to you about how high quality Bill's products are. So we're going to go face to face here with a comparable pancake style type of holster and show you why one, when you're going to go buy something, sometimes getting something cheap isn't always the best way to go. So we'll talk about that. On today's product spotlight section, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, will be the North American Arms Mini Revolver. Now, I consider this gun the pocket knife of the gun world. And once you understand how this gun works, you're going to want one. Now, call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417 to put an order in for one of these things now. Tell them I sent you. He's our sponsor, so is WRB Sales. They sponsor the show. You promote them and help them. They help me, and hopefully I can help in whatever way I can too. It's a big circle. My gun training demo will be on shooting a pistol in self-defense. Now, that's always a good thing to know if you're carrying a gun for that purpose. So be sure to take notes on this section. As always, every week, we have Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon as our own, very own, voice of law enforcement at the 11 o'clock hour, giving us his insight and experience in a wide range of topics. This is always a great segment, so make sure you listen to that one. And today's interview will be with Dr. Neil Trent discussing the probability versus possibility. Awesome interview, so we'll have that coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, late in the 11 o'clock hour. Thank you very much. Okay, now moving on. Once again, if you want to give us a call here at the studio, it's 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go directly to the website aaronsgunshop.com. Now, moving on to license to carry. Okay, am I on? We got a call already. Let's see if it's for us. As we talk about license to carry, we're going to be talking on the particular topic of places weapons prohibited. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is so much unnecessary confusion as to where you can go and not go with a handgun if you're a licensed carrier. Now, to some degree, I can understand. But if you took a class from me, you wouldn't have this confusion. We got somebody on the line? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me finish this up and we'll get to them. Now, my 10-step, 2-bonus plan makes it easy and simple for you to remember. Instead of worrying where you can go, just worry about the short list of places you can't go. And once you learn that short list, all you have to do is check that list to see if the place you're about to go in is on that list. Now, this requires an effort on your part to remember the list. After that, it's easy peasy, okay? Now, the other aspect of this is that you must know and understand your signage. These two things, signage and the list of 10 and the two bonuses, work hand in hand. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, you signed an affidavit that you know and understand all the laws pertaining to license to carry. Okay, so remember that. Now, okay, is our caller going to hold on until I finish this segment?
I don't think it should.
Okay, well, hold on. We'll get to you in just a minute. We're going to finish up this segment here. Now, I'm going to begin with the list here. First thing I'm going to do, pull out my trusty little workbook, and I got it all highlighted and ready to go. And this is, you're going to have some that are in Penal Code 46035 and Penal Code 4603. So let me read to you Penal Code 4603, places weapons prohibited. And then I'll show you the trick. This section makes it an offense to possess or carry any weapon into the following places, even if the person is the license holder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me make something perfectly clear here. In Penal Code 4603, whether they have a sign up or not, you got to know these places. You cannot go in there, period. Period. Okay, so let's count. Get your paper and pencil ready, or whatever note-taking materials you got. We're going to do a list of 10 and then have two bonuses after that. So, these are the 10 places you can't go, even if you have a license. Number one, physical premises of a public or private school or institution, comma, new thought, number two now, this is the same sentence, but it's two places in one sentence. Number two, grounds where a school-sponsored activity is being conducted. Let's say it again. Is being what? Yes, conducted. Not a place where it happens, but a place where it's happening now. It's being conducted. So let's do number one and two again. Physical premises of a public or private school or institution, that's number one. Number two, grounds where a school-sponsored activity is being conducted. Number three, premises of a polling place on election day or during early voting. Four, I was going to make a political comment on that, but I'm going to let that slide. Okay, number four, premises of a government court or offices used by court. Five, premises of a racetrack. Mafia doesn't want competition. Six, secured area of an airport. Did you hear that one? The secured area of an airport. Can I go to an airport with a license to carry and go up to the counter and buy a ticket? Yes. Can I take that weapon past the security door? No, because that's the secured area of an airport. Okay. Now with TSA and the way they grope people now in the parking lots, I don't know anymore. So I don't go to airports packing heat. I just stay away from the whole place. That's me personally. You do what you want. Number seven, within 1,000 feet of premises, the location of which is designated by the Texas Department of Criminal Justice as a place of an execution, Huntsville. So if they're having an execution that day, you got to stay 1,000 feet away from them. Now, that's seven places out of our 10 and bonus two. I'm going to read to you now, excuse me, from Penal Code Section 46035, unlawful carrying of a weapon by a license holder. This section makes it unlawful for a license holder to carry a handgun in the following situations. But number eight on the list will be on the premises of a business that derives 51% or more of its income from the sale or service of alcoholic beverages for what? On-premise consumption. On-premise consumption. Can you go into a liquor store? Yes. Why? Because they don't consume it there. Number nine. On the premises where a high school, collegiate, or professional sporting or interscholastic event, say that five times fast, is taking place. That's number nine. And number 10, on the premises of a correctional facility. And that has a big duh after it, if you can't figure that one out. All right, now here are your two bonuses. While you're intoxicated. And the other one is federal facilities. Look, if you can't remember federal facility and not, you know, and being intoxicated, if you can't remember those two things, you know, don't carry the gun. Okay. Those are so freaking easy, but there's your list of 10 and your bonuses. Now here's the trick to it. If you go, well, I don't know if I can go in this place or not. Well, you know, your list of 10, right? If I go to the 7-Eleven and somebody says, I don't know if I can go in there, check your list of 10. Is it on your list of 10? No, it is not. Now all you got to do is look for a sign, because the owner of the property has the ability, if they want to put up a proper sign, either a penal code 30-6 or a 30-7 or both of them, to keep you, the licensed carrier, out. So the trick, once again, is you burn into memory the 10 places that you can't go. Also know your two bonuses. And then whenever you go to a location, you say, not sure. Let me check my list of 10. Not on it. And I see no signs and nobody's told me I can't go in. So I'm in. Here's a test. Can I go into a bank with a concealed weapon? Correct. You can. And the answer was why? Because it's not on my list of 10 and I saw no signs present. So I can go in. Now, if I see a sign, obviously I can't go in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we teach all this thoroughly in my classes, in my license to carry classes. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the website there, check out the license to carry page. I'm probably going to be having a class set up in the second week in November. That's about the only time I've got left to have a class. So if you're interested in that, you can send me an email that you're interested in taking that class. I'll have it probably posted up soon. And you can sign up there or give us a call here. And we'll get you squared away, okay? I'll tell you what, we've got a caller on the line.
No more?
Well, if you want to call back, feel free to do so. Moving on. I probably answered your questions because I was so thorough, right? All right, moving on here now. We're going to go to our NRA section. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to be reading out of the NRA magazine, but I am going to tell you, if you're not a member of the NRA, you need to become one. The more members they have, the more strength and might they have to overcome bad legislation. And if certain things happen, we're going to have a heck of a lot of bad legislation. So start buying your ammo, start buying your guns if you haven't already. All right, this is from the 100th issue of the Concealed Handgun Magazine. First story here. Colorado homeowner foils burglary attempt. Hearing noises outside his home early one evening, a Denver man took a pistol with him when he went to go investigate. He found an intruder trying to break into the home through a window. Fearing for his life, the homeowner fired on the burglar, wounding him and stopping the incident. Responding police apprehended the burglar near the scene and transported him to the local hospital for treatment of a gunshot wound. The homeowner will not be charged for defending his home. Ladies and gentlemen, what can I say to that? I can't say anything. Wouldn't you do that? Somebody's breaking into your home and you're scared to death and you're like, what the hell's going on? I'd wait till he gets all the way in the house. You always hear these people say, well, shoot him. If he falls out, just drag him in the window. If you do that, my gosh, don't do that. And if somebody tells you that, look at them weird. It's like, come on, man. Think about this. You're in your home and somebody's trying to break in. And you're already prepared. You can say, hey, don't do that. Go away. Stop. I have a gun. Calling the police. And you can stand there in a relaxed manner saying, as soon as he breaks the plane of the door, he's definitely in. I'll do what I have to do. But until that time, calm down. Know that you're in control of the situation. Just because he's not responding to you doesn't mean you're not in control. Because you know what you're going to do if he breaks through the door. All right. Armed Mississippi husband fights off naked would-be rapist. A Gulfport woman awakened early one morning to find a naked male intruder on top of her. The woman shouted and threw the man off of her, alerting her husband, alerting her husband? Do you have a mental image of this? Man and wife in bed. Intruder naked on top of the wife. And the guy doesn't wake up? I don't get it. Who took up bedside pistol and held the intruder at gunpoint for waiting for the police. No one was injured in the incident. The suspect has previous arrest for unlawful nudity that now faces charges of sexual assault and home invasion. Let me tell you something. Somebody breaks into my house naked. One, I'm probably going to laugh. And two, I'll tell you what, let's just go to the next story. I'm not going to get in depth on that one. Mississippi homeowner defends against sexagenarian burglar. A Corinth couple was awakened by about 1 a.m. by sounds of a break-in. The 61-year-old intruder entered the home and confronted the couple. Despite their taking up a pistol and shouting that they were armed, in the ensuing altercation, the burglar was shot three times and driven from the home where he collapsed from his injuries. Responding authorities transported him to a nearby medical facility where he's pronounced dead. Police are not charging the homeowner for his self-defense, though all fatal shootings are referred to a grand jury for the determination. I understand that. They'll look at it and they'll probably no bill it. I don't know what's up with these titles here. Housewife defends against knife-wielding home invader. After rifling through a truck and stealing a quantity of lawn implements, a thief forced his way into a Sultan home and knifed a 75-year-old man who tried to stop him in the stomach. The homeowner's 80-year-old wife responded to the commotion in time to see the attacker standing over her wounded and bleeding husband. When the attacker started after her, the wife ran to her bedroom to get a pistol, with which she shot the assailant 3 times, killing him. Police are investigating the case, which will be reviewed by the county prosecutor to decide whether charges, blah, blah, blah. You know what raises an eyebrow on that one? Here you have an intruder. I'm assuming the intruder's younger than this couple. The wife comes in. This guy's got a knife. This 80-year-old woman goes running towards her gun, gets the gun, has time to point and aim the gun, and shoots the gun. And this guy didn't get her? I don't get it. I mean, it's fantastic. I'm glad it didn't happen. But I'm just trying to be there when it's happening to see, is this slow motion? Do they not know what they're doing? I don't know, but kudos to her for defending her husband. Next one. Georgia man foils car theft. An Albany man awoke early one morning to sounds of a car window breaking. Taking up a pistol, he went outside to investigate. That's when an armed man accosted him and pointed a handgun at him. Fearing for his life, the citizen fired on the armed assailant, missing him but putting him to flight and ending the crime. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, here you've got this bad guy with the gun all ready to go, and the defender has time to pull out the gun and take the shot. It's just, this is very good for us, very bad for the criminal. So we had a conversation like this a couple weeks ago. How about criminals aren't very smart, which is good for us, I guess. Next story. Louisiana husband defends against knife-wielding wife. He must have pissed her off. A family argument turned violent when a Grant Parish wife attacked her husband with a knife. Stabbed multiple times in various places on his body, the husband managed to get a gun and fire on his wife several times, killing her and ending the attack. The husband is not expected to face charges. All right, what's the moral of that story, guys? One, don't teach your wife how to shoot. Don't teach your wife how to defend herself with a knife. Don't piss her off. Give her flowers from time to time. Say nice things. And always say yes, dear. I guess that's what covers that bit. All right. Next story. South Carolina man defends against multiple assailants. Excuse me. A North Charleston man was in a local bar when he was accosted by another man who pulled a gun and threatened him. Wanting to avoid trouble, the threatened man left the bar, but the assailant and another man followed him to his car and continued making threats. When the assailant started to pull his gun again, the victim, fearing for his life, drew his own pistol and fired on the assailant, hitting him and putting him to flight. Charges have yet to be filed. Okay, that's clear cut. He did what he had to do. Texas homeowner kills drunk home invader. An Odessa man heard sounds of a break-in at his residence early in the morning and went to investigate. That's when a man forcibly entered the residence and rushed the homeowner. Fearing for his life and to protect his family, the homeowner fired at the invader several times, killing him and ending the attack. Only after the police investigated did the homeowner discover that his attacker was drunk and likely had tried to enter the wrong house, thinking it was his own. Well, I guess the moral of that story is limit your drinking, keep it calm, cool, and collected, and don't live in a subdivision that all the houses look the same. All right, our last story here. Armed Indiana woman foils armed robbery attempt. When a Kokomo woman was approaching her residence door to go home, she was confronted by an unknown man who pointed a gun at her and demanded money. The woman drew and pointed her own legally owned pistol at the robber, which frightened him away. No one was injured in the incident. That tells you a lot of these guys have no onions, okay? So if you're going to rob somebody, Just buck up, I get it. Buck up to whoever's messing with you, and they usually back down. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a long 3-minute break here. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to do our pep section. And that's going to be pretty interesting. That'll be my son. And feel free to give us a call here at the station at 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go directly to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Like us on Facebook. Let's jump up the numbers. And tell us what you're thinking. Talk to you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 15th, 2016, and we're here live. We'll be here for the next hour and a half. Let me make a comment on the Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps. We're coming into the holiday season, everybody. I'm already getting calls, starting to get booked up. So if you've got a party going on or an event, corporate event, birthday, wedding, whatever, you might want to give me a call. So give a call. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. You'll find the number information, or give us a call here at the studio, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. A whole bunch of different ways you can get a hold of me. But if you got something going on, you need to have it, give us a call. Now, November 8th is Election Day. November 5th, because I have my finger on the pulse of America, November 5th, I've set a date for a home invasion self-defense training seminar. Ladies and gentlemen, these are fantastic seminars. They go through the whole gamut of what may potentially be your weak spots. Okay? We go from everything from mindset to round robins, to malfunctions, to multiple shots, multiple targets, targets on the move, going to the shoot house, learning how to turn corners, go down hallways, listening and looking and seeking out our indicators of noise, sight, vibrations, the whole works. Check it out at aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page and you'll see the flyer up there. And if you're interested, sign up for it. I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. A lot of great training, and if you haven't trained, you need it. So check it out. Now, with that said, the PEP section here, which stands for Preparation Eliminates Panic or Practice Eliminates Panic, I've got my son here, Dylan. Incredible. He's a ninja when it comes to this stuff. He's been doing it so long. And we're going to be discussing the common threads that he sees everybody do, or a lot of people do, when it comes to defending their homes. A lot of mistakes that are being made. So you can apply this to your training or come take the training from me and we'll go over these kind of things. So without further ado, let me have played to you now the interview I had with my son, Dylan, about room clearing in the class. So here we go. What I want to do in this PEP section is bring onto the screen here and introduce to you my son, Dylan Beatros. Dylan, come on over here to the mic, buddy. Say hi to everybody. Say hi in French. My son is going to Southwestern University, and he's learning languages. And what is it? French is the major one, right?
It is, yeah.
Tell me something in French.
Okay. Bonjour, tout le passant. Je suis très content d'être ici.
And what did you just say?
I said, hello, everyone. It's nice to be here.
Well, great. I'm sure everybody's saying hello to you back. Dylan, the reason I got you on here today, Dylan is an actor. He's also got his IMDb page. If you want to go there, Dylan Beatros, check him out. He's doing quite nicely. Maybe he'll even send you a signed autographed photo. I don't know. But the reason I've got him on here today is because Dylan is my acting crackhead when it comes to our training seminars. Okay, he's not a crackhead, everybody. He acts as though he's a crackhead. And what it is, when we do our room-to-room search in our shoot house, the scenario is basically that the parent or parents are asleep in the master bedroom and somebody breaks in, which happens to be my son crackhead here acting as like a crackhead trying to steal a TV so he can buy more drugs. And so the people of the household wake up, they hear it, and they're going to room search because they got children on the other side of the house and they got to protect their children. And in the course of this, Dylan's been doing this for quite a long time, he has come to realize there's people have patterns, a natural set patterns of doing things that are not good. And so we're going to get him on here now and talk to him, and I'm going to ask him some questions. So Dylan, first, as my crackhead in my seminars, tell me just an overall, what do you think of the program, and then we'll get into the details.
Well, first of all, I really love the program just because you can talk about home invasion in theory, but as soon as you get out there, every concept that you thought you were going to follow just goes right through the window. Like, you are a completely different person than how you were talking about yourself inside the classroom. Like, I've had people that were super confident, and then they get into the into the seminar, they're just a mess. They're heavy breathing, they're stomping, they're like, you know, it's all self-confidence just flies out the window when their adrenaline is pumping. So
yeah, he makes a comment there, and I teach this all the time, and that is, you know, you're shooting at a piece of paper, the worst thing that can happen to you is get a paper cut. But when you're put under stress, that adrenaline's pumping through your system, are you going to be able to manipulate your 10 fingers? Because they end up having to turn into like 3 fingers. And so trying to manipulate a gun with 3 fingers as compared to 10 fingers makes it a little bit difficult. So Dylan, you've done this a bunch of times. I've taught tons of students, and you're absolutely right. We see the same scenario in the classroom. You know, they've got it. They're a little nervous, but they think they got it. But once they get into the shoot house, and ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. We're using airsoft guns, replicas of real guns that shoot plastic BBs at a high enough velocity where it's not going to penetrate you, but it's going to like, oh, that's smarts. So when you're turning the corner, you're going to think twice before you do it because you don't want to get stung by this thing. But Dylan, what have you learned? You wrote a list here for me. I'm going to take it one by one. But as you're going through the house and the adrenaline's pumping, there's things that everybody seems to be doing that gives themselves away. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, so the first one is definitely shadows. I know, I like to say I'm hiding in one of the back rooms and someone's trying to cut a corner. Well, the the simulation house that we use has a bunch of windows, so light's constantly coming through the windows and it's illuminating the area. And let's say a person's trying to cut a corner, and then there's this hulking shadow that's preceding them. And so I have three choices. I can either leave, wait for them to turn around, and spray them with bullets, or I could just shoot them straight through the wall. And so it really gives them away. A lot of people are not conscious of the way, like, what's on the ground or what else they're doing. The involuntary things that they're doing that gives them away.
Shadows is a big one. It really is. Now, if you're thinking it's nighttime out and there's no shadows, that's not true. You got maybe the coffee brewer's on and you got that little green LED light, or you've got some other type of LED lights, or you got the hallway light that's down there in the socket that's illuminating your walkway. There's shadows that can be cast, so you got to watch for those too. Okay. What about, you got down here, heavy breathing. Tell us about the heavy breathing.
Oh, my gosh. So, this one, I'll give a specific scenario. This one lady was doing extremely, extremely well. Like, she was tiptoeing really quietly. I couldn't hear her. And then all of a sudden, I hear this. Well, okay, there she is. So I she was coming down the hallway, so I just maneuvered around. And while she was hyperventilating, I just came out and popped her. So it really gives you away. Just you're breathing. People aren't conscious of the fact that.
Well, let's talk about that. When you're going through it, I know when I'm going through it, mm-hmm. I've got to watch my breathing because I know that can be a giveaway. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, when you're controlling your breathing in a hyper situation, your body's craving more oxygen. And so you're trying to stall the oxygen because you don't want the gasping to take effect. And all of a sudden it gets to the point where I got to breathe, man. I got to breathe. And then that moment is when you get snagged. So you've got to learn to control your breathing and be as calm as you can. Very good. Your next one on the list here is stomping.
Some people, it seems like when they come into the shootout house, it's like they have lead shoes. They will just slam their feet down on the ground, and it literally is like sonar. I know exactly where you are the entire time. And it makes it really easy for me. So if you want the crackhead in your house to have a really easy time, take all your stuff and shoot you, stomp your feet. I know some people were actually smart. They took off their shoes, and that way, like when they were in their socks, I couldn't hear them. But those that had, like, some people had boots on, some people had sneakers on, and they would just stomp around, so I knew exactly where they were every step of the way.
And the shoot house also, it's not 100% replicated like a real house where it's got carpeting, wood floors, and all that. There's dirt in there. It's on a concrete floor. And so when they're turning corners or moving, you can actually hear the gritness mm-hmm. between their foot and the floor, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, when you first walk in there and you realize, hey, that my feet are making noise, now you got to start walking flat foot, not bending your feet. So that's another thing that's taking away oxygen from your body. It's great, though, because you want to get shot. Rubbing their pants legs together.
This is honestly essentially like the stomping. Like, let's say, you know how when you wear jeans and you're like, your legs are really close together and that makes that sound when the material runs together.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't conscious of that because, like, you know, like, let's say you're going hunting and, like, one of the big things to keep in mind when you're hunting is to keep your legs further apart. That way your pants legs aren't rubbing together and not making a lot of noise. That's kind of how it is in the shootout house. I hear a lot of people that I'll just hear this jean friction sound and I know exactly where they are. It's just like the stomping. It's like sonar.
Dylan has become like a ninja. I mean, he's just very quick, light on his feet, and because he knows these patterns, he just takes people out real fast, which is a great thing because we're always trying to find your weak spot and enhance the areas that you're weak at. Okay, this one's very important, as they all are, but I say that because I actually teach this in the class, and that is how to turn corners. There's proper ways to turn a corner in a house if you think that there's somebody in there so you don't get compromised. So tell us about poorly cutting corners.
One of the things you're supposed to do when you're cutting corners is to keep as close enough to the wall, if I'm not mistaken. And that way you're a smaller target and you can't be hit. I know a lot of people, when they cut their corners, some people will stick their hand out with their gun, kind of like clear the area, mm-hmm. and they'll fire off a round or something. Or some people would like stick a foot out first and then like clear the corner like they were glued to the wall.
Let me clarify what he's saying when he stick close to the wall. If you're going down a hallway and you're going to turn to the right, I don't want to stay on the right wall. I want to stay far away from that wall and stay closer to the left wall. I want to stay as far away from the turning corner as possible, like he's saying, because if I'm hugging the wall turning the corner, there's no room for error. They're going to see immediately me turning that corner. But if I'm at a distance from where I turn and closer to the far wall, I will probably see them first before they see me. That's called cutting the pie. But we'll talk about that in the seminar on December 13th, and you can come to. So, Dylan, if they're turning the corner and they got their hat on and they're real close to that wall, that you can see the brim of their hat, mm-hmm. or their foot or the barrel, and if somebody like the bad guy like you, if you wanted to, and we don't allow this, but you could if you wanted to, as the gun barrel's coming out, you grab the barrel and take the gun away from somebody, right?
I could, yeah.
Okay. Opening, closing doors loudly. I mean, that's just an obvious one. I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, like, there's not that many doors in the shootout house, but they find a way to just slam them every single time. Like, some people, when they will enter the house, instead of, like, opening the door, they'll kick it open. I guess theatrics. I guess they just want to have fun.
They see it on TV, too.
I mean, you do you, but I just know that I know exactly where you are. And I know when you're entering, I know when you're leaving, and, like, some doors creak really loudly. So if you're not careful with what you're opening and what you're doing, I'll know which entry point you're at, and I can find you.
That's right. This one here bothers me. This really does. Because I train to keep your finger off the trigger. I train to... I get guns that replicate real guns. Let's say we got an airsoft gun that's a Glock 17. I will only put 17 pellets in the gun. If I've got a 1911, I'll only put 7 pellets in the gun. Replicate, because the mechanical workings of the gun is the same, so you can interchange mags. But the last one you have here is firing off a round when entering each room.
Yep, that happens.
I mean, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. You're in a subdivision firing a round into each room before you enter it.
I'll give one instance. This person, were doing three of the other ones. Like, they were really breathing heavily. They were stomping. Their pants were rubbing together. So I knew where they are to begin with. But every time that they would cut a room, they'd fire off a round. Every single time. So, like, let's say that bullet goes through the wall, hits your kid or your dog on the other side. It flies through your house and into your neighbor's house and hits your neighbor in the leg or something. It's just, not only do I know where you are, you're going to be out of bullets by the time I get to you. Like, that actually happened. This person had completely run out of ammunition, and so I was pretty much chasing them around, like, the hunt, in a sense. Like,
Now, tell me something. You know that pellet, how it feels.
Ow.
Okay? And you know when you're turning the corner, even if you're the aggressor and you're turning the corner, mm-hmm. you know there's a chance if the person outdoes me, he's going to shoot me. So doesn't it make you think twice before you turn that corner and make you think of all the training that you got so that you can engage that turn with much more professionalism than just going out there and putting your neck in a noose?
Absolutely. Like, the concept of danger makes everything real. Like, if there's no possibility of me getting hurt, I won't care, because there's no threat to me. But, like, I've been hitting by those suckers in the throat, and that hurts. And so I know that I don't want to get hit by one of those things. So
let me make something clear, too, ladies and gentlemen. You're all wearing protective gear. This is just every now and then, because he's in there all the time, and he's getting shot at by 15 people at a time sometimes. Sooner or later, one sneaks in a weak spot. But you, when you're in the shoot house, you're all protected up. You feel the impact, but you don't feel the sting. So it's a good deal. But if you really want to learn and see how you do under stress, this is the place to go and the training to take. It's AaronsGunShop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page. You'll see the flyers there. December 13th is the last seminar for this year. So you might want to call up, sign up, whatever, but it's going to fill up quick. So give us a call if you want. Now, Dylan, do you have any parting words before we take a break?
But my main thing is, like, in the class, we go through all of these techniques. My dad will teach, like, all the do's and don'ts before entering that shootout house. The problem is, when the adrenaline is pumping, a lot of people throw those things out the window. The most important part of it is to stay calm and remember everything you've been taught. That way you can perform adequately.
And the way you perform that even better is by practice, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to continue it up. The better you are prepared, the more that training will come to save you when a situation really happens. So, Dylan, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure a lot of people got a lot out of that. Our upcoming seminar is November 5th. This November 5th, Saturday at 8 in the morning. Now, the price for that course is $165, includes a barbecue lunch. But I'm going to throw out here a trivia question. And if you can answer it and call up and give me the correct answer, I'll take the first caller who gives me the correct answer. I'll take $20 off that price. Now, here is the trivia question. Name me the three, there's actually four, but I'm not going to get technical. Name me the three types of actions for guns. What are the types of actions, the three different types of actions for the handgun there? Give me a call here at 254-697-6633. That'll get you $20 off the upcoming seminar on November 5th. It'll take $20 off the price. So once again, what are the three actions for the handgun? Call me up, Tell them to me correctly, and you'll get $20 off the price. Okay, let's take a three-minute break, and when we come back, we're going to be hitting our topic of intersection. So we'll see you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories. And whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. You're gonna go crazy at the Cross-Eyed Bull when you see all the great stuff from years gone by. Wagons, old tools, lamps, well pumps, stoves.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. DABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 15th, 2016. And just another note on the nightcaps, high cap nightcaps. We are in the holiday season, so if you've got a function, a party, a wedding, a corporate event, be sure you call us soon before schedules are booked up. Now, we also had our trivia question, and that is name the three different types of actions for the handgun. And if you call up at 254-697-6633, first caller gets it right, it'll get $20 off our upcoming November 5th home invasion self-defense training seminar. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. So give us a call, 254-697-6633. Okay, now our topic of intersection is sponsored by WRBSales.com. my good friend Bill Banlow. We've been friends for a long time. Great quality products, great company, great guy. And what I wanted to do, I was noticing something here. I just happened to pick up one of my pancake holsters, WRB Sales. We call it the Special Forces holster. It's a pancake holster, modified tactical type of deal. Very good quality, excellent quality. But I used to have an Uncle Mike's pancake holster. And the whole reason why I came up with the design for the Special Forces holster was because the other one was inadequate for what I needed. And if you're looking, if we're going to have this video posted later on, but in the video I'm showing right now, you're going to see the Special Forces holster in my left hand and the Uncle Mike's in the right. And the first thing I want to make notice of are the belt loops. On the Uncle Mike's, there's only two belt loops, and those belt loops themselves are very thin in the material. They have a tendency to start stretching out, okay? And there's nothing in the middle here. If you look at the Special Forces holsters that I designed, I've got three belt loops. There's one on either end and then one in the middle. And you can see that they're Kondura fabric, high grade. There's three of them. They're wider, thicker, or not thicker, but wider as compared to a half inch wide. They're probably about 2 inches wide. And the one in the middle. And what the big reason is for that is on, let's say, for example, on the Uncle Mike one, after a while, when it breaks in and there's only two points of contact, the gun's going to start to flop away from your body after a while. You got to keep cinching that belt up tighter and tighter and tighter to hopefully keep it from flopping around. Okay. On this one here with that third point of contact, it makes it fantastic for keeping it close to your body. The other thing is too, I tell a lot of people, depending on where you want it on your body, if you want it more towards the front, you can put it in your belt loop on your pants in between these two notches, the rear two notches. And this way it locks into place so the holster's not going to slide around your body. Or if you want it closer to the, I said in the front, if you want it towards the rear, you put it towards the front of the holster and it brings it back to your body. That's what I like to do. I like to keep it around the flat of my gluteus maximus. I guess that's your butt, right? Your butt cheek. Okay, that's one of the main things. The other thing is, if you'll notice the Special Forces holster, how the backing is a little bit larger. It flares out more and it goes on that gluteus so that it's got more support as compared to the Uncle Mike's, where it cuts down on both sides and it comes down to a point, a curved point at the bottom. So once again, that's another reason why it has a potential for flapping. Now, another thing too is when after a while, the Uncle Mike's start to curl in at the top. They don't have what they call this good stiffener. So that after a while, when I go to take the weapon out and want to put it back in, sometimes the top edges have a tendency to curl in. Whereas on the Special Forces holsters from WRB Sales, they've got a stiffener and those things they're not moving. So when I draw the weapon and I have to go put it back in, I don't have to look at my holster to put my weapon back in the holster, which is another great thing as well. The material is much better, in my opinion. It's not my opinion. I know it is. Okay. It's just much better material. Now, you can get the Uncle Mike's for a cheaper price, but, you know, then you got a cheaper holster. Or you can get one of these Special Forces holsters. And there's different types of holsters that they have, but the Special Forces design has that third belt loop. It has the larger back plate on it, and it's just great for carrying a large frame gun. They also make them for small frames. I was going to bring them all in. I've got them for various sizes and different types of weapons, and with lights and without lights. This one here is for my 1911. I don't know if you can see it very well once the video comes out, but it's designed to carry a 1911, whereas there's others that are more boxy that can carry the Glocks and the XDs and those types of weapons that have flashlights on them. And it can carry a 1911 too with a flashlight. So, and even when the flashlight's not on it, you can put those Glocks and XDs in the holster with the big boxy part and it'll still sit right. Perfect. It's just a great holster. I'm going to boast and brag. I designed it, and I designed it because I knew what I needed. I do a lot of different types of training, and I noticed that this was flawed. The Uncle Mike's was flawed. I'm not putting down Uncle Mike's. It has its purpose and its place without a doubt, for sure. But what I'm showing in contrast is how this is an upgrade. That WRB Sales Special Forces holster is an upgraded holster. So if you're looking for quality products that are going to last for a long time, you want to go to WRB Sales and check out their products, okay? It also has here on the front a place where you can attach a mag pouch if you wanted to. I don't do it. It's too bulky at that point. It starts sticking out and all that. I like my stuff slim and trim. So this stays close to your body. And the other nice thing, too, is with the three belt loops, it enables you, once your body heat gets onto this thing and you're it's been on you for a while, it breaks in and it conforms to your body. It just molds to you, it becomes one with you, and actually becomes thinner on your body because it lays into your body. So check them out, WRBSales.com. They've got all the different types of things that you need: gun accessories, holsters, gun bags, magazine pouches, the whole works. So check them out at WRB Sales. Remember, they're a sponsor to the program. You check them out and you support them, and they support us, and we can get to stay on the radio. Okay, now let me move on to our next segment, which is our product spotlight. And this segment is sponsored by another great sponsor, ANC Firearms. Arch Kuntz, the owner of ANC Firearms out in Heidenhammer. Give him a call at 254-983-4417. And I've known Arch for a long time, too. Heidenhammer, he's in that yellow brick building. It used to be an old bank. It's pretty cool. Check him out. But what I want to go over now with him is that he has the North American Arms Mini Revolver. I consider that the pocket knife of the gun world. Now, understanding this handgun, its benefits and limitations will enlighten you to its great benefits as a concealed weapon. With minimal modifications, like a different grip to fit your hands, you can turn a novelty gun into an excellent self-defense handgun. But first, I want to read to you an article from thetruthaboutguns.com. And I do this because I always like to do this because I want you to hear other people's opinions besides mine. Now, although my opinions are accurate and spot on, of course, it's always nice to get a second opinion. So let me do this. Let me read to you this article I found. I'm just going to read parts of it and give you some highlighted points of why I like it. And then I'll give you some other commentary about these guns. I sell lots of these guns and I make holsters for them. And they're so utilitarian, especially for women. They're fantastic for women. This is from thetruthaboutguns.com. In the world of production firearms, there aren't many smaller than the offerings from North American Arms. Its Guardian series is about as a petite semi-automatic pistol as they come, and I believe its mini revolvers may be the smallest production revolvers in the world. There really aren't many clothing choices, at least ones you can legally get away with in public, that would prevent carrying a gun this small. North American Arms mini revolvers are available in 8 or 9 basic variations with multiple styles and finishes and sometimes various caliber choices for each. Calibers on the menu are the 22 short, 22 long rifle, and the 22 magnum. And they've got 22 cap and ball. Even the biggest of the minis is still pretty darn mini though. Now, most notably, the mini revolvers are all single action only. You must manually cock the hammer all the way back for each and every shot. They also have a 5-shot capacity and are made entirely of stainless steel, except for the grip panels, of course, in some cases the sights. North American Arms uses a unique method to render the revolver safe while still loading the cylinder to full capacity. In a single action, revolvers of old, our heroes of the West would almost always leave one cylinder empty and would rest the hammer there. You see, if the hammer was resting on a live round and then was bumped, the gun could fire. Many modern versions of single action revolvers use a moving piece of metal to either block the hammer or firing pin or to act as a contact surface that must be in place for the hammer to contact the firing pin. Now, North American Arms went a simpler but just as effective route by machining a safety notch into the cylinder between each chamber. The hammer locks into these notches, preventing the cylinder from moving and keeping the hammer away from the live rounds. While I doubt anybody would recommend a 22 for self-defensive use if one has the option of a larger centerfire caliber, there are scenarios in which a larger firearm simply cannot be concealed or carried. The North American Arms Mini can be, and obviously it can also act as a backup gun. This is all just to say that while, of course, I wouldn't recommend a 22 as first choice for personal defense, I also don't discount it as only a novelty. This is a real firearm. It's deadly. It's legit. And I've seen North American Arms referred to as nasal spray from hell. This is both for caliber and accuracy reasons, though. Even if you have no intentions of carrying a mini revolver, they're fun to own and shoot. And the build is solid for a long life of plinking. The materials, quality, machining, and fit and finish are all very good, not just a novelty. North American Arms restricts the powder level of the ammo, doesn't restrict the powder level of the ammo you feed these things, specifically stating that hypervelocity ammo is okay, as well as shot shell loads. So, pretty interesting. Now, that was what they were saying on Truth About Guns. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some of my opinions here. The North American Arms Mini, when I first had my hands on one, I thought was like, this is ridiculous. This is a joke. Okay, but I never really followed up. This is years ago. And I went to try and shoot it, and I've got big hands, and I'm trying to shoot this little mini gun, and my shots were all over the place at 5 yards. I mean, all over the place. And I was getting very frustrated. I mean, being a very good shooter and having your shots go all over the place, that's like, you know, you're scratching your head. Then there was one time, and this is a true story, excuse me, I walked into ANC Firearms, and they had a Black Widow version of a mini revolver with a larger grip on it. And I go, I started thinking. I go, hey, let me try this out. I tried it out. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. I was getting them in a 4-inch circle at 7 to 10 yards, and I wasn't even trying, okay? Which made me rethink things. I started looking at all the different grips that they had for this gun. And they've got basically a few different types. They've got the panel grips that shape the frame of the gun, which are kind of bird head shaped. Then they've got one called a boot shape. You would kind of resemble an old six shooter, you know, cowboy six shooter, the way that grip looks. And then they've got the large Black Widow type of grip, the big fat grip. That's excellent. The only problem with the big fat grip is it obviously reduces the nicety of being able to conceal it even more so. That's why I choose the boot grip. The boot grip has just enough grip on it for me to hold it, but still be able to conceal it well because it's a flatter style grip. And with that grip, it enhances your shooting tremendously. The other thing about it is, women specifically, once they understand, once I show them, once I teach them, once I give them the concept ideas, they're like, oh my gosh, this is the way to go. Ladies have things up top that guys don't have. And that is such a fantastic place to conceal this handgun. No one knows it's there. And God forbid something happens to you. This gun is meant for up close action, okay? God forbid something happens. Some guy's grabbing your hair and taking you away to do what he wants with you. And you're screaming, okay, whatever, whatever. You're under your shirt reaching for this thing. And put one in his leg, in his belly, whatever. Get him off of you. All you want to do is get this guy off of you. It's a great gun. You can carry it wherever you got to go. I always tell ladies, I don't want your guns in your purse. Something happens to that purse. Somebody takes that purse. Then what? Okay. What are you going to do now? The gun's got to be on you. But if you can't carry a 38, you can't carry a bodyguard, you can't carry whatever, this gun is always on you. That's why I call it the pocket knife of the gun world. So ladies and gentlemen, go to ANC Firearms. Give them a call. 254-983-4417. Tell them Matt sent you from the radio show and that you're interested in the North American Arms. They've got different barrel lengths. They've got 22s, 22 shorts, 22 mags, all that kind of stuff. You can get different grips for it. They've got pretty designs. They've got basic designs, long barrel, short barrel, the whole works. Fantastic gun, but you need to learn how it works, and you need to learn the best way that it works for you. I can teach you all those things. I do it all the time. I've got a large following of people who buy these guns because once they see what I do with them, they're like, I got to have one. So give Arch a call at ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Now, we're going to take a break in a minute, but once again, I haven't got any calls for my trivia question. That is naming the three different types of actions for a handgun, and you'll get $20 off our next seminar on November 5th for the Home Invasion Self-Defense Training Seminar. So, we got somebody on the line, and I don't know if it's for us or not, but what we're going to do is we're going to take a break here in just a second. And when we come back, I'm hoping the chief's going to be here. I'm wondering where the chief is. He hasn't come in yet. So if not, we'll work around it, and we'll see what we've got. Nanito, give us a break here. 3-minute break.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000-denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, today is October 15th, 2016. I apologize here. We had a little miscommunication with the chief. He's out of town right now. He did a pre-recorded session, and we're trying to find that now. I wasn't aware of it. So we're if it sounds like we're juggling around, it's because we are. But I'll tell you what. We've had a couple of calls come in about the trivia question, about the three different types of actions. Had one person call in, and I knew what they were thinking, but it's not the proper terminology. Another person came in, and they mentioned one of the proper ones, but the other two were incorrect. And tell you what, the chief is going to be, if we can find the chief's recording, he did it on survival and survival kits, so maybe we can find that in the computer system here so we can play it. But in the meantime, I'm stalling. Well, once again, the number here is 254-697-6633. And if you can answer the trivia question, what are the three types of actions for a handgun? You'll get $20 off the seminar for November 5th, the Home Invasion and Self-Defense Training Seminar. Think about it now. Think about the guns. Think about it. Anybody out there knows, give us a call, 254-697-6633. Also, back on the Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps. Once again, it's holiday season. Be sure to book your bartender for your event. There's only so many people that can do it, and there's only so many dates available. So if you have something coming up, give us a call. Okay. Until we find the Chiefs segment here, we're going to go with another one, which is very important here, and that's shooting a pistol in self-defense. This is very good. This is very important. If you're going to carry a gun for self-defense, knowing how to shoot it would be probably a good idea, right? So let's go to this segment here, gun training demo, and take a listen to that. When we come back, hopefully we'll have the chief on hander. I want to go into a gun training demo real quick. It's about the sight picture. When you're holding a handgun on the video, if everybody's looking on the video, you'll see the handgun here. We got the front sight and the rear sight. I trained for self-defense shooting. I don't do marksmanship shooting, but in this particular segment, I'm going to talk about how to aim a pistol properly with one eye, because it's a little bit difficult to explain how to do it with point shooting unless I'm with you or we have a little bit more time. So there's two different ways to shoot a handgun: with one eye open or with both eyes open. The one eye open in a self-defense scenario is not good. It shows inexperience from the shooter doing self-defense, because if you only use one eye to shoot in a self-defense mode, you're only seeing half as much. And that's the last thing we want. And you want to be able to see twice as much and shoot twice as fast. Two eyes is basically for self-defense, for there's no time for you to aim your pistol if you've determined that you've got to use it. So, but we're still going to talk about how to do it with one eye. But for purposes of this gun demonstration, I'm going to tell you the proper way to sight your handgun when using one eye to shoot. The first thing you want to do is distinguish the different type of sights that are out there. There's lots of guns out there. You probably got one of these four basic types of sights. There's the three-dot sight system, dot over dot, dot in the square U, and then no dots. And I was trying to figure out how to tell everybody on the radio here, because I don't really want you messing with your guns in your house at the moment, because I'm not there to see if you're checking to see if it's unloaded. So we're going to use our fingers. If everybody with their left hand would just lift up a peace sign, that's going to represent your rear sight. And then further away from you with your right hand, stick up your index finger. So your peace sign is closest to your one eye open. You're going to look through that peace sign and find your index finger. That's what a sight picture looks like. And you want all the tips of your fingers to be level straight across from left to right. Now, using that example, the three-dot sight system, if we're looking at our fingers, you're going to see the nails of our fingers. We're going to pretend those are dots. All three of the nails should line up, one, two, three, left to right, right to left, all in a row, not up and down, but all in a line. That's a three-dot sight system. The second one was dot over dot. On your left hand, just stick up your index finger, and you can see your nail. On your left hand, or your right hand, stick up your index finger further away from you, and then line the two and put one nail on top of the other as you're looking at it with one eye open. That's what a dot over dot sight system would look like. A lot of people have on their sight systems, go ahead and put your peace sign back up. The peace sign would be outlined with a white line. It almost turns into like a square U the way the sights are shaped. Then you get your index finger, and you put it further away from you again with your right hand, and then look through that peace sign once again and line up the dot with the index finger and have make sure it's in the middle of the square U, all the while making sure the top ends are all lined across. You don't want one higher than the other, because you get a bad shot group that way. Now, the no dots, a lot of guns have that too. They're just black sights. Basically, your peace sign is up, your finger's up, index of the other hand, you line them up, and that's how it is. So some people have not too good vision and want some bright spots sticking out so they can find the sights better, they use the dots. I like it sometimes. I personally prefer black sights. It reduces the glare for me. So there's always little, you know, things you got to think about. Now, doing this means absolutely nothing if you don't learn the other elements of shooting a handgun correctly, such as the proper grip, trigger control, proper fit of the handgun, and breathing techniques. And ladies and gentlemen, if the truth be told, if you're in a self-defense mode, your breathing habits won't matter, because you'll be hyperventilating, all right? So don't worry about that one basic tip. To survive a gunfight, one must not only own a gun, they must train with it under duress and make shooting a gun second nature. There's no time to learn when the stuff hits the fan. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, I teach advanced training when it comes to how to handle a gun for self-defense. So one of the first things you have to do is learn how to shoot the gun. We got to learn how to aim the gun. We're going to teach you how to aim the gun, point shoot the gun. But you've got to train, and you have to train under duress. And one of my things that I like to do in my training is to get you to a breaking point. I want to go through an exercise with you and go over it and keep putting the pressure on until we find the failure point. Because the failure point is the part we got to practice. We don't really have to practice the part we already know. I mean, we do maintenance training, but we don't really have to say, oh my gosh, when something happens, I fall apart here. Well, let's get there. Let's fix it. Let's find it out. See what it takes to fix the problem and solve it so that if we are on the street and something does happen, you will win that fight. And I want to talk to you about tactical flashlights, not the flashlight itself, but the different types of on-off switches that the tactical flashlights have. And we've got about four. There's different types of switches, but the basic ones are the slide switch, the push-button switch, the toggle switch, and the squeeze pad switch. And since I've got video running right now, as I read these off again, let me show you what they are. Here's a tactical light, but it's got the slide bar that turns it on and off. You push it from the left to the right, from the right to the left. Then you have the push button switch. You got the long flashlight here with the push button in the back. You push the button and nothing happens because the battery's dead. Okay, but you push the button and it works. Then you have the toggle switch. The toggle switch, you turn up and down like a seesaw. One way is a permanent on, the other way is a temporary or a strobe light on. And then we have the squeeze pad switch. Basically, if you got the light on your handgun or rifle, it's got a wire coming out with a squeeze pad that you can squeeze it when you want to use it. So those are basically the different types of on-off switch. Now, in my humble opinion, some tactical lights should not be put on some types of guns, while other tactical lights should not be put on others. And here's why. Pistol light rails are under the slide of the gun. If you're looking in the video again, I've got my simulator Glock 17 here, and this light rail is right underneath the barrel. Okay? A slide switch tactical light is okay, except for one aspect of its design. When laying the handgun down, there's a good chance that the slide switch may be touched and turn the light on by accident and kill your batteries without you even knowing it. And when it comes time to use it, in case of an emergency, well, you have no light. So if you look at this flashlight here with the on-off switch being the slide switch, and if I put the gun down on its side, it may bump that switch into the on position, and then your battery dies and you don't even know it. So although this is a very bright light for a very good cost, its only flaw would be its on-off switch, which is a slide bar switch. A push button that is on the back of a light won't work for a pistol either, since the trigger guard of the pistol gets in the way. So if I try to push the boot button here, there's no way for me to get my finger to the push button to turn it on. So that's not going to work for that. A toggle switch, however, is perfect for a handgun. If you'll notice, I'm putting the toggle switch flashlight on the simulator. And when I'm holding the weapon, I can manipulate my fingers to turn the light on and turn it off, enable me to have a free hand. So the toggle switch is perfect for a handgun. Since your fingers are very close to the switch, you can easily manipulate the light, touching the toggles with the that stick out on either end. You can turn the light on temporarily by tapping the toggle or turn it on completely by tapping the toggle switch the other direction. Now, a toggle switch on a tactical light being used for a rifle is not good because the toggle switch can be accidentally bumped when you don't want it to be bumped and give away your position. So if I'm holding my weapon and my tactical light's up here for me to manipulate, but it has no protective covering over the switch, and I hit a tree limb or something, it may bump the light on when I don't want it to be on. So a butterfly switch light for a rifle, in my opinion, is not good. A slide switch on a rifle has the same problem as the handgun. It can be accidentally turned on. So the best light for a rifle, in my opinion, is the push button switch or the squeeze pad switch. They both give quick access to the turning on of the light, but you can maintain full control as to when the light goes on. Now, all this I've said is not written on the packaging of any tactical light. This is all learned by trial and error. As much money as I spent on lights, I can tell you there has been lots of errors. So before you waste your money and buying on the wrong tactical light, be sure to check out this video on the website and go to aaronsgunshop.com. And remember, you got the slide on and off switch. You've got the button switch. You've got the toggle switch. and then you've got this squeeze pad switch. So take a look at it. This is a very brief video, but at least it gets you started. So if you like one over the other, you can go study it via YouTube, Google it, whatever, and you can start learning what might be best for your particular weapon. So that's it for the product demo. Moving on to the gun training demo. And since we have the flashlights here, I wanted to show you a little trick on how to use a flashlight. I drew a diagram for you, too, because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm always giving. You can see in the video here, I'm showing a picture of a handgun with a tactical light attached to the bottom of the light rail. And in my drawing, I have a dotted line coming out of the barrel. The dotted line out of the barrel where the X is the direction or the flight path of the bullet as it comes out of the barrel. When the light is on, you know how when there's the light on, you can see the cone of light as it goes down range? Well, the yellow highlighter here represents the cone of light. The orange line with the ball at the end represents that bright beam in the center of that cone of light. Now, if you study this and know this, you'll realize that the center beam, the brightest part of the beam, the center, will be directly under your bullet flight path. So let's give an example here. I've got my gun here with the flashlight on it.
You're welcome to turn off the
light. Well, Paul's telling me to turn off the light. Let's try that out. Paul, thank you very much. We see this. Oh, there we go. Okay, let's get it on camera. There we go. I've got the light on. If you look in the video, everybody, you're going to notice that the outer perimeter is not as bright as the interior perimeter of the cone of light. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this on permanent. You'll notice the center part is brighter. So when I go to shoot the gun, you can't even see it, it's too bright. The laser is hitting right about here. And that's going to be just about an inch above where the center cone is. So here's the illustration. If you're in your house or something, or outside on the street, and you've got a gun with a flashlight on it, the most common comment is, well, won't they know where you are if you got your flashlight on? Well, yeah, they're going to know your basic area. But there's different ways and different techniques. One's like moving the flashlight all the time, and that's like a gun's in one hand, a flashlight's in the other, but it occupies one of your hands. So that's why I don't really like having a gun and a flashlight. I want the flashlight on the gun. Or you can hold the gun away from you or get a little bit of cover. But if you can see the threat and you're behind some type of barricade, and you can put the gun around the corner, and we'll illustrate it here with this microphone while you're looking on the video. I'm on this side being protected, but I can still see the threat. I don't want the threat to know where I am exactly. He has a general idea, but what I'm doing is I'm bringing the gun to the other side of the barricade, and I know that the bullet impact is going to be right about center of where the brightest part of the beam is. So if I project that bright beam onto the threat, when I see the brightest part of the beam on him, I know that if I go to pull the trigger, that bullet path is going to line up about either dead center or about an inch or two above the center beam of the flashlight. So what's happening is I can be out here and take the shot and be totally undercover, and he may return fire at something that a light, and I'm not even there. So that's a great little trick to know about how the flashlight works on your handgun. Once again, let me show the picture, the illustration. The bullet flight path comes out of the barrel and goes down to the target. When the tactical light is turned on, it causes a cone of light. And in the center of the cone, it will be the brightest beam, and that goes to the center of the cone of light. The brightest part of the beam is directly underneath where the bullet path will impact. Okay? So if you know where the bullet path is and the light beam is, you know you just put it on the target, and you should have a good hit while staying undercover.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. DABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's been crazy over here, but we got it. I think we got it now. We got the last 28 minutes to go, and we settled in, got our ducks in a row, and lots going on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting lots of calls from people on this trivia question. The trivia question is, name for me the three actions to a handgun. And I've gotten calls coming in, and some are totally incorrect, some are a third correct, some are two-thirds correct, but I'm not getting everything together. So once again, the trivia question is, for $20 off the next upcoming November 5th training seminar, what are the three actions to a handgun? And probably closer to the top of the hour, if I don't get the correct answer, I'll explain it to y'all. But what we're going to do now is, we've got our voice of law enforcement. We found him electronically here. And we're going to play for you Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon's message to y'all, because he is our very own voice of law enforcement. So without further ado, let us play to you Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Law Enforcement show. It has been my honor to be able to do this the last 3 months or so, and I tell you what, I have learned more from listening to people talk to me on the street about hearing this than a lot of things. So I appreciate very much all the comments I receive from good people and other people that come to see us and come to hear us and out there. This has been an adventure for me. The Aaron's High Cap radio show that has brought us in has been a wonderful, wonderful thing for myself, for law enforcement, and for the citizens of Cameron. So we want to thank you all again for listening. And send some cards and letters if you listen to us. Or at least contact me on Facebook or something and let me know what you might like to hear about law enforcement or anything like that. You know, trying to get a topic every single Saturday sometimes takes a little bit of effort. But you know what? It's worth it. That effort is well worth it. Now, I began this week thinking about what is the most pressing issue hitting the United States at the moment in time. And I came up with several alternatives that I felt could be well worth the mentioning. You know, I know we could talk about clowns. That seems like it's starting to die down a little bit, thank goodness. Or we could talk about the disasters or the elections. And one of the things that you'll never hear me doing, folks, is I am not a person that likes to talk politics. So it makes enemies. It makes people who are friends mad at each other. So that's something you won't hear from me on here. But what I do want to do is let's see what really is happening in America. Well, the one thing that I know and I'm familiar with is the devastating floods of the East Coast. I have friends that live all up and down the Carolinas, over in Virginia, and I've talked to them recently about Hurricane Matthew and the effect it's having on them, and it has been flat devastating, folks. And then I think, you know, what does the hurricane have to do with Texas? You know, it's been, oh my goodness, 10 years since a hurricane has hit the Texas coast with any devastation. That was Hurricane Ike. I had a son who was a fireman in Galveston who went through that and was actually on about the 14th floor of the San Luis Hotel watching the hurricane come in. That's actually where they put the fire department, who was having to stage and be ready for the aftermath of the storm. Personally, I don't think I'd want to be on the 14th floor of any hotel in a hurricane, but he said it was a sight to behold. I've seen a lot of the pictures afterwards and the devastation and the injuries, the hurt. It was awful. It was just plain historic in terms of damage. So I thought, well, we had a hurricane out in the East Coast. Well, you know, the first reports said that hurricane was going to do a 360-degree turn and come back toward Florida. And once it hit Florida, my goodness, it could go across the coast. It could go anywhere. It could do anything it wanted to do. So I thought to myself, we need to be prepared in this country. And especially, we need to be prepared here in Cameron. Now, I know some of you are saying, we are 250 miles away from the coast. Well, folks, I'm not a spring chicken, to say the least. But I remember back in the 60s, Hurricane Carla that hit Houston, Galveston, and it came up in these parts right here. We had hurricane force winds. We had rains, torrential rains. We had tornadoes that struck Temple. I actually was in the third grade then and remember sitting in a school and the roof being blown off of one of our schools. So, you know, we do have to worry about things like that. And what I kind of hope you do is learn a little bit about what weather phenomena is and the way weather works. I'm kind of an amateur meteorology buff. I took 12 hours of college in meteorology, just enough to make me know a little bit about meteorology. Probably, be honest with you, about as much as predictability as a forecaster on TV does, because it's the only job you can have, be right 10% of the time and still keep your job. But it's kind of it's weather forecasting and the weather phenomenon is a fantastic and a so interesting of a profession. But getting back to our topic at hand, what I want to do today is I want to talk about is what we need to do as Central Texans to prepare for something like this. You know, for me and some Americans who have any kind of disability or who have access and needs for any type of problem, maybe it's someone that has a family, maybe it's someone who lives alone, or maybe it's just someone, a family who thinks that, you know, something's not going to happen to them. We need to be prepared. You know, while everybody's abilities and needs are unique, folks, every individual can take steps to prepare for all kinds of emergencies. Basically, from fires, floods, and tornadoes to potential, honest to believe, terrorist attacks. You know, we hear a lot about that nowadays. Being ready is part of maintaining your independence, folks. This guide today, these ideas that I'm going to tell you today, outlines some measures that people with functional needs, such as us, can do for our families, friends, and caregivers. You know, the worst thing in the world is I think to myself, my goodness, what happens if my family is is caught up in some type of a storm, some type of a hurricane, or some type of a tornado, and I can't hear from them or I can't get to them. Well, we got to be prepared, folks. That is the whole key. You know, one of the things that I tell people is everybody nowadays can't afford not to have insurance on your home. You can't afford not to have life insurance. You can't afford not to have car insurance. And people say, well, and I say, and this is my question I ask them. What do you have it for? What if? What if you need it? Well, that's the same with disaster preparedness, folks. What if you need it? You know, I pay a lot for insurance every year, and I wouldn't pass on anything to not have health insurance or to have car insurance, besides the fact it's illegal, but I wouldn't also have life insurance for my family if something happens to me, because someday it may be needed. Well, folks, that's the same with disaster preparedness. You put together kits, you put together ideas, you put together plans, because someday you might need it. You know, when disaster strikes, folks, the basic thing is we have to provide for basic needs of food, water, and shelter, that those who need it the most are first priority. You know, your personal needs like replacing medications and having your electricity restored for assistive devices maybe need to be met right away. You may need something. You may have a family member that's on oxygen. You may have a family member that has to have some kind of device to help them live. Those are all things that you need to prepare for. And I don't advocate anybody have to go out and spend thousands and thousands of dollars. But if I have to live off some type of machine, or my family has to live off some type of machine, it sure doesn't hurt to have some kind of small generator in place in case the power does go out. I know that about a year and a half ago, we had some tornadoes that went through the northern part of Milam County. It took a life, hurt a lot of people, took a lot of damage to property. And it could happen here, and it can happen here. So basically what we need to do, folks, is we need to be self-sufficient. We need to know how to be self-sufficient for at least 3 to 5 days in case something doesn't happen where you can get immediate help, in case the power can't be restored, or in case some natural disaster does knock out the water plant or something of that nature. Know what the basics are. Some of the things you can do to prepare for the unexpected is like putting together an emergency supply kit. That's the same regardless of any type of emergency you have, folks. However, it's really important to know and to keep informed about emergencies that might be happening in your area. You stay, you minimize your risk. You do things by knowing where you're at, where you live, what is your most potential for damage. Is it from a flash flood? Is it from power being out for a week at a time? Or is it from tornadoes? Or maybe it's from the Little River flooding your house or something. Things of that you have to plan for and you have to know. You know, many times disasters strike with little or no warning. We don't have much problems in this area with earthquakes. However, up in North Texas, not too far from here, they have earthquakes on a fairly regular basis. None of them are of magnitude that's going to break or hurt anything, but it's unnerving. What if we have the big one here in Texas one day? You know, test your readiness by asking yourself these following questions, folks. And these are questions that everybody should ask themselves. If there is an evacuation order, what is the recommended route from where I live to get out to the main streets, the main highways? If you don't drive, what's your options? Who can you call to come get you? Where is the Cameron nearest emergency shelter? Those are things you need to know. You know, it wasn't Hurricane Ike, but before the first hurricane that hit on the Texas coast prior to Ike and right after Katrina, they thought they were going to have a major hurricane going through down through the Freeport area where my son lived at the time. I took plywood down to him, left one morning early, drove down, took plywood. It took 10 and a half hours to get back to Temple, Texas from Freeport, Texas. Lines in the gas stations, I was almost out of gas. I didn't know what I was going to do. Those are things we ought to prepare for. You know, you also need to know, like, where are the shutoff valves to your own house, your utilities? If you have gas, how do you turn the gas off in your house? If you have electricity, where's your main power breakers? You know, and more than likely, folks, if you have landline phones and it's a disaster, your landline phones are going to go down. Hopefully, today's modern society, everybody has cell phones, and you use your cell phone and you know what to do with your cell phone. Understand who your neighbors are. Know what your neighbors' needs are. What might they need to be met? What happens if you can't get out? Can your neighbors help you? Can you help your neighbors in the same way? You know, and I guess this boils all down to one thing, folks. Make a plan. Make a plan. You know, I don't, there was a movie that came out a number of years ago, Hunt for Red October, and a senator from Tennessee that was the actor in that, Fred Thompson, he made a comment. He said, the Russians don't take or do something without a plan. Folks, we need to follow that sometimes. We need to make a plan. The reality of a disaster situation is not things, but not how to get to those things. How do you access them? How do you find what you need? You got to have a plan, folks. If there are people around you that can help you, you need to know who they are. Think about the types of transportation you personally have. Do you have gas for your car? If you don't have a car, is there some way you can call people? If you need specific tools, if you need specific things on what to do without them, for example, what if you need some kind of mobility aid and you don't have a way to get around to that? What do you do? How do you handle it? Well, the way you handle it is real simple. You know who can help you. You know where your local assistance is, either from the sheriff, the police, the fire, maybe the hop, whatever it may be. If you depend on something, know your escape routes, folks. In a fire or other emergency, you may need to evacuate on a moment's notice. And that's sometimes the bad things. Be ready to get out fast. You know, this seems almost elementary, but make a floor plan. Draw a floor plan of your house. Conduct a self-assessment. All of us need to know on people that we can count on in the time of a crisis. Plan ahead and take the time to consider how disaster might affect your abilities. You know, during an emergency situation, everybody, there may be conditions such as flooding or debris that makes it difficult for you to move around in your neighborhood. I know all of you have seen some of the tornadic photographs that come out or pictures and news reports that come out of the Midwest or up in Oklahoma or the Texas Panhandle. And you see how there's trees, there's parts of houses just littering the streets where emergency vehicles can't get through. How do you evacuate? Know how you plan to evacuate if that happens. You know, sometimes you may have to do what is known as bugging out. You may have to have a bag that you can get in a moment's notice, and you can take it and run out of your house and head to a shelter. Like I said, folks, I'm not trying to make you all doomsday preppers like we see on television. But what I am trying to make you is ready for a situation that could actually come back to be extremely necessary and extremely prudent for us to do. Personally, like at my apartment, for instance, I have a bag that I keep ready that is never touched with extra clothes in it, extra shoes, extra socks, and everything I need that if something was to happen, a disaster was to happen, if I'm going to be at the PD for an extended period of time because of some disaster, all I have to do is grab that bag, take off, and I've got everything I need. I never touch it, and the reason I don't is because you want to keep that bag fully stocked and ready to go in case you do need something. Also, folks, little things like this. Know how to use a fire extinguisher. And you think, well, fire extinguishers are just so simple. Folks, some people don't know how to use a fire extinguisher. Know that you got to pull the plug. Know which way to aim it. Know what kind of fire extinguisher you've got. Know how to evacuate. Be aware of the barriers and possible hazards to clear an exit from your house. Have you moved up and secured objects that might block your escape path, for instance? Maybe you've got bookcases or hanging pictures, overhead lights, etc., electricity. Know where those are and be able to navigate around them. You know, write your plan down and keep copies in your emergency supply kit. Know your plan and share your plan with your family. There's a lot of people that used to say, especially on television, you'd see articles that would say, well, you need to go out and you need to plan. Have a drill. And especially on some of the doomsday prepper shows, which, folks, I'm all for those shows because they give us some really great ideas on what to do to protect ourselves. But on some of the shows, people have said, and I've heard people say, well, nobody's going to practice or have a actual real drill that's going to take place where they can act like they do. We do in law enforcement. We do in fire service. We have tabletop exercises. We have live exercises that test our readiness for those things. A family should do the right thing. Now, the first thing you want to do is assemble you a kit, an important kit. The first step to putting together an emergency kit is to consider how an emergency might affect your individual needs. It's crucial, and I mean crucial, everybody, that you and your family, friends, and caregivers think about what kind of resources you use on a daily basis and what you should do if you have limited or those aren't available. You know, I would be lost if we didn't have water or Cokes or whatever it may be. You've got to have, or my medication is that we have to take. Have those supplies ready and know where they're at. Plan to make it on your own for at least 3 days, the minimum of 3 days. It's possible that you will not have to access it as far as a medical supply company, such as a hospital or something of that nature. But even that, you might not even be able to get to a drugstore. So have your supplies ahead of time and, you know, have things ready. And what I'd like to do now, everybody, is just in a few moments, I'd like to talk about what kind of basic supplies you need in your kit. First, think about the basics for survival, food, water, air, and any life-sustaining items you require. Here's some basic ideas on what I think you should have in your kit. Have at least 1 gallon of water per day for at least 3 days. So that's basically 3 gallons a person per day. You can live on that. We can live without food, but we can't live without hydration. Have a food, at least a 3-day supply of non-perishable food, and a can opener if you need one. At many of the hardware stores, like Cabela's or Pro Bass Shop or Academy, they have some of the dehydrated foods and also advertised on a lot of the outdoor shows on television. MREs for military surplus, things of that nature. All of these are good things to have in your kit in case you need it. The MREs and these food supplies, these dehydrated foods, many of them are high protein, high carb, which helps you get through certain times without just a whole lot of bulk. Also, make sure you have a flashlight with extra batteries. Now, here's the thing that is really important. Most of us in law enforcement, we don't use flashlights with batteries anymore. We use rechargeable flashlights. If you don't have electricity, how are you going to recharge it? Get a flashlight that takes batteries, have fresh batteries, check your batteries. Take extra clothes and a blanket or two with you. Also, put together a simple, very simple first aid kit. And, you know, I know a lot of people are going to laugh about this, but go down to the 5-and-dime store, what we used to call the 5-and-dime store. Now it's Walmart or something of that nature, and get you a whistle. If you're trapped, if you're hurt, whistling, a loud blast from your whistle or a CO2 air horn, any of those things can draw attention to yourself. It's a good way to get people to come help you. Also, take a dust mask with you. Put a couple of dust masks in your kit. You know, I know we all saw the horrible, horrible scenes of 9/11 when all the people were running away from the towers and there were first responders running to the towers. Well, many of them didn't have masks on. And a lot of the airborne particles, it's hurt a lot of people, folks. Any disaster, whether it's a fire, whether it's a tornado, you're going to have airborne particles. You need to have a dust mask. Also, take you some garbage bags, some handy wipes, things of that nature. Things that are going to help you clean up and keep things separated and keep them dry. Also, one of the things that many people overlook is they don't take something in case they need to use a wrench. I highly recommend that in your kit, you look at something similar to a Leatherman, one that's a multi-use tool. Not necessarily that brand, but just one that does the same thing. Also, if you have an animal or a pet, you got to consider them too. I know many of us wouldn't dare leaving without our pet or without taking our pet with us. So think about that. Think of those things. And then finally, folks, that I think is probably more important than anything is many of us have to have medications to live. If you have medications, no matter what those medications are, keep you some extra ones in your bug-out kit or your emergency supply kit. Most of them will be good for a number of years, and if you need to change them out. But have that medication ready. Put Tylenol, Advil, any of the pain relievers. Put your specific medications that you may have. You know, take you along some alcohol. Take you along, not the drinking kind, of course, but maybe so. But take along isopropyl alcohol. Take you along any kind of hydrogen peroxide, something, bandages that's going to help you and it's going to protect you. You know, I've talked a lot about a lot of things here, and I've really tried to break down some of the things that I feel are really important for you, because I don't want to see our citizens, I don't want to see our folks live through some of the disasters that I have seen on television, some that I've been in. You know, the Gerald tornado, many of us were in law enforcement back then, and that was a horrific thing. I don't ever want to see anything like that again. But we've been lucky. Texas has been lucky. You know, we've dodged the bullet, so to speak. We've also dodged the bullet in this area on major tornadoes. We're not always going to be lucky, folks. That's the bottom line. So what I'd like you to do is communicate with your family, talk to your family, discuss things with your family. Know when you got to go and know when you got to stay. Keep your televisions on, get you a radio, get you a weather emergency radio. Be prepared. Be prepared on where to go. Folks, I can't stress how important this is. I just hate to see anybody go through some of the disasters that we've seen happen in our country, and especially on the West Coast, or the East Coast, rather. You know, and we're not immune from forest fires, from fires in this area. We're not immune from, God forbid, something horrible happening to one of the dams that supplies the water to us, and we have floods in this area. But, you know, without being prepared, the key is you got to be prepared. Know how to handle situations. Know what to do. You know, we all love our loved ones, and we want to take care of them. But you got to take care of yourself first, folks. Be prepared for it, and be prepared to do the things that is going to be necessary to protect yourself. Don't hesitate. Don't put off putting an emergency kit together. That is the one thing that I think everybody can afford to do, and everybody needs to do. So, folks, I know I've talked about some things that are probably not pleasant to talk about today, but I've seen a lot of things in my 40-plus years in law enforcement that I don't ever want to see again, things that I go to bed every night seeing, things that change your whole outlook many times. A lot of it can be prevented, folks, simply by us doing the right things, taking the right safety measures, and being safe. So with that being said, I'm going to turn this back over to Matt today. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll see or hear you next Saturday on the radio.
Thank you, Chief. That was awesome, and I want to just basically cap that off. The battle is preparedness, and this is from Sun Tzu, the book The Art of War. Quote, "The general who wins the battle makes many calculations in his temple before the battle is fought. The general who loses makes but few calculations beforehand. The battle is preparedness." So prep, everybody, prep. Now, back to, I'll tell you what, let me give you a few things that are coming up, and then we're going to get the trivia question answered. We've had people keep calling, but they're just not getting all three of them. And got to have them all right. So, but anyway, let's recap here. On November 5th, Saturday, is our home invasion self-defense training seminar. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page, and you can sign up there. You'll get to see the flyer as to all the things that we do on it. You can also go to the Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel and check out all the videos and see some of the training. If you're not going to carry it on the street, but you're going to use it in the home because of a home invasion, you got to know what you're doing. So you got to prepare. It's time to get yourself ready. Just don't buy the gun and think everything's going to go away because you got the gun. You've got to train. Now, well, also, we're planning on a license to carry class probably after the election. That's if people have time after buying all their ARs, ammunition, and all that kind of stuff because they're panicking. But anyway, check out aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the license to carry page, and we should be having that up soon with a confirmed date. Or you can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to the trivia question here. The question was, name for me the three types of actions, and actually there's four. You won't get this anywhere else but from me probably in my training seminars, but I'm keeping it simple. What are the three actions to a handgun? I've had people call in, like I said, and they said this, that, and the other. They said automatic pistols. They said revolvers, things of that nature, but that's not correct. The three different types of actions are single action, double action, and double action only. Now, let me clarify what they are. If you have any basic general knowledge of handguns, let's use the old cowboy pistol, the single action revolver, the six shooter, John Wayne pistol, whatever you want to call it, okay? To get the gun going, you've got to cock the hammer every time. That's a single action, every time. Every time the hammer must be cocked before the gun can fire. Now, 1911 is the same way. However, when you cock it the first time and you shoot it, it cocks itself. That's where the technical thing comes in, and I say there's really more than three. Because we call that a single action self-cocker, as compared to the cowboy pistol, you have to manually cock it every time. So in general, it's single action, which means the hammer must be cocked every time before the gun can fire. Double action. It's like a basic revolver. It's got a hammer and a trigger. I can either cock the hammer, then pull the trigger, or if the hammer's in the down position, I can just pick up the gun and pull the trigger. The third one, double action only, is let's pick up that revolver again, but pretend there's no hammer on it. I can't cock the hammer, can I? But I can pull the trigger. Well, if we pull the trigger, that makes it a double action. But if that's the only way I can pull it because there's no hammer, it turns it into a double action only firearm. So those are your three basic actions: single action, double action, double action only. And with that, we've got about maybe 10 or 15 seconds left. I'm going to say to you this: it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you, Chief, for everything, for your words of wisdom there. And everybody, get prepared. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check out the website. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Keep your powder dry, and God bless.